The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show and my continuing series about the executive branch of government and specifically one of those lesser-known entities called the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission. This is not a big operation within the scope and size of government, but it is one of those small offshoots that works every day, gets a salary check once or twice a month, and within the scope of its mission, takes up space. This commission, from its latest fiscal report, dated 2014, costs us, the taxpayers, a measly $214 million. But be advised, this commission has doubled its spending from $100 million in just 7 years from fiscal 2007 to that whopping figure of $214 million. But I guess that's just plain chump change in the broad scope picture of what the United States government spends when you think about the very fact that we are sitting with a $3-plus trillion budget, not even considering what the debt is. Where to begin? It should be understood that commodities have been traded in one form or another since the beginning of recorded time. By that I mean roughly somewhere between 4,500 and 4,000 BC, that's over 6,000 years ago, trading was taking place by the Sumerian nation, which roughly occupied the geographic area in between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, also sometimes referred to as the Fertile Crescent, where we believe that things really started to pop. But what is commonly known today, this area is Iraq, which is bordered on the east by Iran and on the west by Syria. It is in this area that the first clay tablets were found, and it was discovered from those tablets that trading in animals or other commodities and future promises of items to be traded were recorded. As a start, let's first describe what this futures trading is all about. In its most simplistic form, futures trading is nothing more than the trading on the increase or decrease of a commodity, whether in the future the price will be more or less, say as to bushels of corn, barrels of oil, gallons of gasoline, in a predetermined period of time. And that's it, folks. Nothing more complex or complicated than that. But recall, where there is money and the potential of more or less of something, by Washington standards, there needs to be a bureaucracy to manage it. So let's see exactly how it is that this United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission, hereafter I will refer to it as the CFTC, came into existence. If you've been following my journey into the bowels of the United States government and specifically the executive branch, you would easily guess that this commission came into existence due to the belief of the government that it was its responsibility to govern and regulate this type of activity, and specifically relating to the trading of future commodities. Now, futures contracts have been traded in the United States for many years, and portions of this trading has been under government authority and federal regulations roughly since the 1920s. Going back a bit further, in more current times, and now AD, not BC, in April of 1848, the Chicago Board of Trade was founded as a cash market for grain. Then in 1856, the Kansas City Board of Trade is established by a local Kansas City merchant as a place to trade in grain. By 1859, the governor of Illinois signs state legislation which grants to the Chicago Board of Trade the authority to self-regulate its activities regarding standardized grades of grain and the authority to appoint grain inspectors under whom decisions are binding on the members of the Board of Trade. In between the 1800s and the 20th century, many other boards of trade are established to handle a wide variety of products and the trading of these commodity markets in the United States. all worked fairly well at this state level until 1914, the federal government passed the Cotton Futures Act, attempting to regulate, standardize, and tax the trading of cotton. But luckily, this legislation was rendered unconstitutional due to its origination in the Senate rather than the House, and necessitated the Cotton Futures Act of 1916, followed there by the Grain Futures Act of 1922. Did you notice the terms regulate and tax? This progression of government involvement into the dealings of the marketplace rendered the actions of individual traders and groups to be under the watchful eyes of, yes, your government. Whatever happened to buyer beware, let the risk takers take the risks. During this period, many laws and trading bodies were created. Taxed and trading continued, and finally, in 1936, the Commodity Exchange Act is passed, which replaced the Grain Futures Act, which in turn is overruled by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission Act of 1974, and that was signed by President Gerald Ford. This act created the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and our story restarts. Recall also that the Commodity Exchange Act legislation originally fell under the auspices of the Department of Agriculture, while with the passage of the CFTC, an independent executive branch commission would be in charge of these types of regulations, which would regulate financial transactions and, more importantly, the trading of derivatives. Let's stop here and define what a derivative is also. Simply put, a derivative is a contract between two or more parties whose value is based on an agreed-upon underlying financial asset, index, or security. Common underlying instruments include bonds, commodities, currencies, interest rates, market indexes, and stocks. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which is composed of five commissioners, they are appointed by the president, but with the advice and consent of the Senate. The commission was empowered with hearing complaints relating to commodities trading. Further, it was authorized to write rules and regulations, monitor the various trading entities, authorize future registered associations, and finally, it was empowered with authority under Title IV to have enforcement authority to investigate and prosecute violations of the Commodity Exchange Act and commission regulations. Now, the mission of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission is, and I quote, to protect market participation and the public, catch that, the public from fraud, manipulation, abusive practices, and systematic risk relating to derivatives, both futures and swaps, and to foster transparent, open, competitive, and financially sound markets, to promote market integrity. The CFTC organization is comprised of commissioners, the office of the chairman, designated by the president, and then there are four divisions, and this from the government website. I would quote, the first being the Division of Clearing and Risk, which oversees derivatives clearing organizations and other market participants in the clearing process. This includes futures commission merchants, swap dealers, major swap participants, and large traders. It monitors the clearing of futures options on futures and swaps by these organizations. The DCR also makes recommendations on the DCO applications and eligibility rules and submissions, which types of swaps should be cleared. Secondly, the Division of Enforcement. This investigates and prosecutes alleged violations of the Commodity Exchange Act and commission regulations. Potential violations include fraud, manipulation, and other abuses concerning commodity derivatives and swaps that threaten market integrity, market participants, and the general public. The third, the Division of Market and Oversight, fosters derivatives markets that accurately reflect the forces of supply and demand and are free of disruptive activity. It oversees trade execution facilities and data repositories, including surveillance, reviews new exchange applications, and examines existing exchanges to ensure compliance with applicable core principles. Fourth is the Division of Swap Dealers and Intermediary Oversight. This oversees the registration and compliance of intermediaries and future industry self-regulatory organizations, including U.S. derivatives, exchanges, and the National Futures Association. Further, this FCFTC has eight additional offices, which include the Office of the Chief Economist. This office provides support and advice to the commissioners, the Office of Data and Technology, technical and data management support for the commission, the Office of the Executive Director, charged with regulating resources, develops and implements management and administrative policy, and ensures program performance, This office also oversees the Commissioner's Whistleblowers and Consumer Affairs Program. Then, number five is the Office of the Inspector General. Now, this is an independent organizational unit designed to detect waste, fraud, and abuse. We've heard that before, haven't we? And promote integrity, economy, efficiency, and the effectiveness of the CFTC's programs and operation. Sixth is the Office of International Affairs, which advises relating to international regulatory initiatives, provides guidance as to international issues, represents commission in international organizations such as the International Organization of Securities Commissioners, the G20, and Financial Stability Board. Seventh is the Office of Legislative Affairs. This kind of keeps track with Congress and provides them information. And lastly is the Office of Public Affairs. This is a liaison with the general public, i.e. us guys, giving us the information that citizens of the United States need when dealing with these types of activities. Now, this commission's main office is located, of course, in Washington, D.C. But there are three additional CFTC offices in Chicago, Kansas City, and New York. Now, the commission employs 665 full-time employees, of which 491 are direct mission staff, comprised of attorneys, economists, auditors, risk and trade analysts, and other specialists. Now, the remaining 174 are management and support personnel. Payroll data to determine salaries was not able to be obtained from either the 2014 agency financial report or the 2015 President's Budget and Performance Plan. From that same report, we find that the CFTC had set itself five specific goals. I'll let the listener delve deeper into the fine points of the five goals, but they were, in a nutshell, market integrity, clearing integrity, robust enforcement, cross-border cooperation, and organizational and management excellence. These were their words, not mine. And from that same report, we find that their own evaluation, when this doesn't look good, of the five goals, only one goal was met, while all of the rest were not met. This agency did not meet its own metrics over half of their own stated goals in the last reported period of 2014. Why are they there? I would direct the listener to recall, just within recent history, the mess the financial sector of the economy has been in. This commission, which is supposed to do things to help the economy run smoothly and free from corruption, can't even do its job half of the time by its own standards. There is, however, depending on your point of view, a bright shining star in this mess. While delving into the innards of this entity, I noticed a section on careers. Gee, I wondered, well, what kind of jobs are available in this highly technical field of government work? So under careers, they had two categories, one for United States citizens and one for federal employees, but they were still the same. I won't bother you with the technical aspects of these open positions, but what I will give you is the pay ranges. Positions for U.S. citizens or federal employees range from $90,000 to $233,000 per year. Not too shabby of a salary range. The downside, if there is one, was the requirement to move to either Washington, D.C., or to three other offices in Chicago, Kansas City, or New York. Listeners, that's my show today. I hope you have enjoyed your journey into the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission. So long. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.